Thank you, Jonathan. My wife does send her regrets, and the one thing that she does, she typically gives candy to the kids. And so she's not here, but I have her bag of candy. And so I'm going to start the bag over on the front row, all the way over to my right. And if you just go through the bag, take one or two, and hopefully it'll multiply and we'll make it all the way across. On behalf of the Southwest Indiana District, I want to say thank you for your faithfulness. Now, if you are visiting today and this is your first time at the church, I want to say something. Next week will be a lot better sermon, because we know that Pastor Jonathan is one of the brightest and sharpest pastors that we have. And I just want to say something to you as a new district superintendent. The one thing I've learned about district superintendents is that their eye is always open for another pastor. So do me a favor. I don't want to come here and have to replace a pastor anytime soon. So I want you to love this pastor and his wife, and I just want you to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord here. And if you do that, you know what? We never know what the future is, but I know this. You got to make it as difficult as you can for this pastor ever to leave you. Okay? And I always, when I had staff and churches I pastored, one of the things that I made sure of was that if they left me, they took a pay cut. And almost every one of them that left me, they said, man, I took a huge pay cut to go somewhere else. And I said, it was because I never wanted you to leave. I want to talk to you today. You know, one of the things, I've only been a district superintendent since September. I really don't know what it means to be a district superintendent, but I've been a pastor for over 30 years. And my wife and I, we've always given ourselves fully to the church. And she's always been in kids ministry. And so the one thing that when I got elected, she said to me is, you're not going to be like most DSs and have one or two sermons and preach them over and over and over and over again, because I'm going to be with you and I want to hear you preach. And so a number of weeks ago, when she knew I was coming here and it was going to be Mother's Day, she said, I just want to let you know, I want to hear a Mother's Day message. So I want to talk to you today. Somewhat, I really believe from my heart as well as from the Word of God. When I started out in ministry, I regularly had Mother's Day and Father's Day, did things on parenting and all of those things. And I look back at that now, and I probably should send some apology notes to those churches. But the farther I went on as a dad, one of the things that I recognized was how difficult it was. You see, before I became a parent, I thought that one of the most natural and easiest things that I would ever do with my life would be to raise children for God. But what I have discovered is that it's a lot easier to have children than it is to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I have two children. Melanie is a CPA. How in the world she ever got to be that way and to be able to organize numbers is amazing. She was never even able to clean a room as a kid growing up. And she has one child, Eliana, who's 2.5 years old. And Eliana helped make me grandpa. And her husband is a pastor, was in the Nazarene church, now in a non-denominational church. And they're rocking and rolling. She called us this week and said, Dad, I got great news. She said, I'm going to have another child. She said, I'm going to be going to the doctor sometime later this week, and we'll know a little bit more about timing and all of that. And on Friday late afternoon, early evening, she gave us a call. She said, Dad, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, it's supper time, and I'm sitting on. She says, well, is Mom near you? And I said, no, I'm not sure where Mom is. She said, well, just as long as you're sitting down. She said, I got great news for you. And I said, well, so what is that? She says, I'm carrying twins. So I all of a sudden started thinking, my daughter is into something I believe in, and that is multiplication, and I am so thrilled. I have another, and she is 30 years old, just turned 30 years old. My son just turned 28, and he is presently single. He has gone through a very painful divorce. Works at Lowe's in management. owned a miniature golf course on Carolina Beach, as well as house flips. I love my son with everything I have. I wish he was just a little bit closer to the Lord. I want to talk to you today about parenting. And if you're a parent today, I wish I would have heard this sermon whenever I was starting. I want to call it graceful parenting. You see, I grew up in a time when kids were to be seen and not. Okay, some of you were raised during that time. Some of you wished it was those times today. I grew up in a time when parents really did consider it their godly obligation to take me out of the world if I was disrespectful or disobedient in any way. You know, as a child, I thought, in fact, especially in my teen years, I thought that my parents weren't real intelligent and I was. In fact, it wasn't until later, probably almost graduation from college, that I began to recognize just all my parents had done for me in my life. As a young person, I thought that other children had cool parents, but mine were not. And some of that was because my parents were faithful Christians who taught my sister and I that it was very important to give our time and our talent and our resources to God. In fact, as a kid growing up, I can't even hardly think of anything fun that we did other than spend time with God and His people. You know, as a young person, I also thought that the church was about rules and relationship, or rules and regulations, and not about a relationship with God. In fact, it wasn't until I went to Olivet that I really just began to discover that God truly did love me. That the song that I had sung as a little child, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, was something that was real and vital in my life. A lot of years have gone by, and as a parent, I got to tell you that I have learned that children are a gift from God. And there are times that any parent or grandparent may say, you know what, my kid isn't a gift from God. He's actually driving me nuts. She's killing me. I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to do. I mean, they're teenagers and they're totally out of control. You know, as I reflect upon my life in those early days, I remember Pastor Jonathan, my call of God. I remember the very first church I went to in Braidwood, Illinois, about 25 miles outside of the Olivet area. The district superintendent at that time, he made that church sound like it was a church running about 5,000. Of course, I think there was maybe 20 people with my wife and I in those days. There were some old contractor trailers in the back that they had put a roof over. They were supposed to keep them in the property for about a year, and that was about 7 or 8 years ago. I remember walking down that hallway. I think it was about a January or February. There was ice in the hallway. My wife was pregnant at the time. You know, all I ever wanted was a chance, just an opportunity to preach the word somewhere. Well, before we could even move into the parsonage, Cindy and I took about 2 months and fixed it up. It was an old house, smelled like cats and dogs, had used it as their living area for a long time. We pulled up the carpet and I sealed the floor. They had blown in insulation and all the walls had this very dark paneling. And, you know, you would have thought when they drilled the holes on the inside that they would have taken the paneling down, but they didn't. Or at least that all the lines would have been straight across. But they were like dot by dot. And one day I just got a little frustrated and kind of started doing some dot to dot. But what I remember was one hot afternoon, we were pulling weeds outside that house. And Cindy says, I'm not feeling real good. She went inside and about 10 minutes came back. She said, you better take me to the hospital. About 4 months pregnant, I took her to the hospital and I sat in a waiting room. She had lost the baby that she was carrying. As they went in to do the DNC, I sat there and there was this young kid, looked to be about 16 years old, looked like he was on drugs. And as I sat there just trying to make it through. Doctor comes in and says to the young guy, you're a father of a young boy. I got to tell you, I don't know what you do in the real world when life doesn't always come your way. I've learned that sometimes we barely make it. I walked out of that hospital room and I went across the street and there was a fast food place and I sat down, I ordered something and I wept like a puppy. For quite a while after that, Cindy and I, we tried to have children. And you know, sometimes when you get a little desperate, you'll do anything, and we've heard some of the craziest things to do. I got to the place where I finally said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not talking to anybody. I'm hurt, and I just can't make it. You know, it was about the time we gave up that all of a sudden Cindy got pregnant. And when Melanie was born, we gave her the middle name Joy. It was only when we moved to Okmulgee, Oklahoma, that our son came. And we named him Matthew, a gift of God. And he truly has been that. Today, I want to talk to you, I guess, about some things I've learned as I've become a parent. I want you to know it's impossible to be a perfect parent. As hard as you might try, you will never get there. I also think that we tend to parent in the ways that we were raised, whether we wanted to or not. In fact, some of us said, as we started raising our kids, I'm not raising my kids like mom and dad did. By nature, we also want a formula to be a godly parent. We want 3 steps. We want 4 steps. We want to have a method by which our children will experience all of the good things that we've experienced. But I got to tell you, many of the things that I've tried as a parent has failed. As parents, I've also learned that we tend to want to protect our reputation. And that if we're not careful, we will try to live vicariously through our children. But I want you to know that even though my kids are far away, I'm not done being a father. It doesn't matter how young or how old your children are, you never stop parenting. And above all else, it is our responsibility to prepare their heart for a relationship with God. If you've got your Bibles today, I want to encourage you to open them. I think they're going to have Psalm 127 up on the screen here for us. It's very interesting, this verse. This is a verse that is often taken, I believe, out of context. It says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. I want to talk to you today about graceful parenting. It's in the message. The message says it this way, Psalm 127. If God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well nap. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? And don't you see that children are God's best gift, the fruit of his womb, his generous legacy? How does God interact with his children? And how should parents interact with their children? I want to give you my main premise. If you get nothing else, get this today. Instead of treating children the way that we were treated by our parents, by our grandparents, graceful parenting asks us to interact with our children the same way that God longs to interact with each and every one of us. I don't know whether you believe this or not. I'm not sure in this room what every single one of you believe about God. But I would dare say, if we had the time this morning and you were asked, describe the God that you believe in. There are some of you that see a harsh God. Some of you see a judging God. Some of you don't really know. He's kind of like a force. You have kind of the Star Wars God. But I want to say this to you, that God loves His children unconditionally. I don't care who you are in this room. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't even know maybe what you're facing. And obviously, there's at least one of you that has suffered a very tragic moment in your life. And it's in those moments that we often begin to say, well, I don't think God loves me. Because if God loves me, God would never allow me to go through hurt or sorrow or pain. But every parent knows that you cannot isolate your children from pain, because at the least expected moment, they can slip and fall and they can skin their knees. I want you to know that God loves His children unconditionally. And I would tell you, as parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents, you are to love your children unconditionally. I got to tell you, that's very difficult to do. When your kids are doing things that are contrary to what you've taught them or what you want them to do, when there's that little rebellious spirit, whether it's in Johnny or Susan, whether they're 2 or 5 or 10, I'm not going to do it your way. I don't care what you say. But 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11 declares to us, dear friends, we are to love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that passage ends by saying, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I don't know when it happened in my life, but it was many years after we had children. I woke up one day and I realized I was not the perfect parent. For years as a pastor, I had preached on parenting. For years, I had instructed all kinds of people of how they needed to raise their children. And one morning, I woke up and I fell onto the kitchen floor and I said, oh God, I am not even able to do what I have preached through all the years. I don't know why it is, but sometimes even within a church, parents can raise one kid that loves God and the other chooses not to. And sometimes I think people have looked at that and they've shaken their head and said, well, they must have messed up with the second one and the third one. Or maybe they got that second one right, but they messed up with the first one. I want to let you know, as a parent, you've got to love your children no matter how old they are. And you need to do it unconditionally. Because that's what God's done with us. I'm sorry, you may think that you're the greatest thing since Swiss cheese, but I want to let you know that you are not perfect. I want you to know that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that we are all in need of grace. You know, as a kid growing up, having attended Nazarene Church basically my whole life, I never really knew what grace was. I knew the Sunday school answer, God's unmerited favor, but I had no idea that I needed God's grace. In fact, if you want an interesting study, go to the New Testament and find out how many times the word grace is used and who uses it. And what you'll discover, that over two-thirds of the times that word grace is used, it is used by the Apostle Paul, the one who was consenting to Stephen, the first Christian martyr's death. I want to let you know, there's some of you today that you need to receive God's grace in your parenting. There's a second thing here that I think is important. As we begin to love, as God loves His children unconditionally, we need to remember that God made our children the way they are, and He loves them. There is not one of you that has a child that God doesn't love. In fact, He loves them in a way that's better than you love them. Each child is unique, and parents need to allow them to be themselves, to give them some freedom. But the Bible also teaches us that we find out that we love them by being willing to discipline them, to try to correct them, to try to steer them when they're wrong. You know, as a parent, there were some times early in I think being a dad, I said some really stupid things. I remember one time in the midst of disciplining my kids, I said, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." Well, let you know, I changed that as the years went by. By the time they got to being teenagers, I said, "This is going to hurt you a whole lot more than it's going to hurt me." The truth is, disciplining isn't hard. Well, we have a hard time disciplining ourselves. But disciplining those we love are very difficult. I would say to you that you need to see your child as God's gift to you. You see, there is a perfect father, and there is a perfect, there's a perfect father, and we're not it. But whatever you do, don't stop loving your kids. I think there's a second thing that we can learn from God in this relationship when it comes in graceful parenting, and that is that God expects respect and obedience from His children. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And as a pastor, I would always say to my kids, I said, there's a key word in that verse. Do you know what it is? And they would look at me, and my son would invariably say, "I think it's kids, children. That's the most important word." And I said, "No, the most important word is everything. If I tell you to jump, you jump." Well, through the years, I want to let you know that even my kids weren't always obedient in everything. Do you realize that God expects us all to obey Him and respect Him? There's a third thing here, and that is that God's willing to let children make mistakes and even commit sin, but He always allows them to face the consequences of their actions. You see, it was God, not Kevin Lehman, who first came up with a thing called reality discipline. Reality discipline is something like this. It says that as a parent, you should be able to teach your kids that there are consequences to the choices that they make. That what they sow, they also will reap. Kevin Lehman, if you've ever heard Kevin or ever read any of his books, he is great in marriage as well as in parenting. Great resource for you. But one of the things that he talks about is... He talks about one time that one of his kids, they got money for their chores. And so one of the times when one of the kids wouldn't clean their room, he paid one of the other children to clean the room and took it from the money that they were giving the one who chose not to. And then they went to like a Dairy Queen or someplace afterwards. And when they got there, each of the kids would typically use their money. And the one child didn't have any money. Of course, you can imagine what happened as all the other children were buying their ice cream, and the one who chose not to work had no money for ice cream. Of course, a little kicking and screaming, maybe even a crying and a little yelling, but the next time it came time to clean the room was clean. I want to let you know, we're living in a day where many times the easiest thing for us to do is to not discipline our children. And moms, I want to say to you, God bless you. Grandmas, thank you for disciplining your children, even when it hurt you. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold discipline for a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die." Revelations chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." You know, another thing I learned about graceful parenting is that God provides and protects His children. Psalm 27, verse 5 says, "For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." You know, I've seen God protect my kids when everything was seemingly shaken and torn apart. You know, sometimes people don't know what's going on in a person's life, even a pastor's life. I was pastoring in Decatur, Illinois, and I got a phone call one afternoon, and it shook me to my core. My son had done something I thought he was not even capable of doing. It was so tragic that basically I thought about just jumping out of ministry forever. I had this expectation of myself as a parent, as a Christian parent, that my kids would always do kind of what I did. But that day he made a choice and about killed me. I called my district superintendent later that evening and I said, I just want to let you know, I'm going to take 24 hours, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to quit pastoring. I no longer feel that I'm capable. And he said, you know, Tim, he says, you're doing great work. And I had told him what was going on in my life and with my son. And he says, I just think you're making a huge mistake. The next morning I got up and he gave me a call and he was weeping. And he says, I gotta tell you something. He said, the incident with your son, you don't know my story. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know that the FBI was working and basically arrested my son. And he started telling me all the things. And he said, you know, he said, when you told me what had happened with your son, he says, don't take this bad, but he said, I almost felt like there was a sense of peace in my life. Because I thought that if you could raise a son that would make a choice that was wrong and evil and sinful, that would mean that anybody could raise a son or a daughter and they could go the wrong way. I want to tell you that those were some of the darkest hours and days of my life. And obviously I'm not out of ministry, but I'll tell you what I discovered in the midst of that. I discovered grace from God for the journey of life. The definition of God's unmerited favor, it wasn't enough for me. And I took the word grace and I made an acrostic of it. Because I wanted to understand why Paul said that God's grace was sufficient for me. Because I was needing something. I was broken. I was shattered. I was angry. I mean, I wanted to kill my son. I was personally embarrassed. I felt like a failure. I thought after all these years of telling everybody else how to raise their kids that I had failed because my son had made a mistake. And so that acrostic, I started with God because that's where the Apostle Paul did. I went to that letter R and I discovered that his grace was radical. That A, it was God's action. Grace isn't a feeling, it's something that God did. And that C was all kinds of words. I recognized that even before I became a Christian that God chased after me. In fact, he's chasing after every one of us. And he challenges us and conforms us. And that God's grace was for everyone. When I discovered my own need for God's grace, that I wasn't a pastor because of how good of life I had lived or how much I had studied or any of those things. I was a pastor because God had called me and was equipping me and helping me. You see, when I first started ministry, I had some of the old-time pastors would come and they'd say, you know, you'll never be a good pastor until you go through your own times of brokenness. And I used to think that's the stupidest, dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why does anybody want to go through pain and sorrow and brokenness? How does that help you? Well, many years later, when I threw my own time, I was brought back to those words and I started thinking, I get it now. Something happened as a pastor. If your pastor called me humble, I think a better word would be broken. I wake up every morning and I say, God, I need your grace for the things that are before me. It's interesting, we have two kids. Melanie's a pastor's wife as well as a CPA, audit manager for the state of Ohio. And she's just like, Mom, I mean, she really gives herself to God and the church. And my son, he knows it. And he's just kind of on the edge, you know. He loves God, but he's not where he needs to be, and that's totally sold out to God. I want to tell you what's happened in my life as a result of all of that time is that I've decided to become a dispenser of God's grace. And if you're here today and you're a mom or grandma and you've got a loved one that's not walking where they need to be, can I tell you something? There is somebody who loves them more than you do. And He is the one that created them. And I am telling you, don't quit parenting. I am telling you, don't quit praying. I am telling you, don't quit believing. And if you are that wayward child, no matter whether you're 15 or you're 10 or you're 20 or you're 60, I want to let you know there is still time to make it right between you and the Heavenly Father who loves you. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. In fact, there are very few things that really matter when you get down to it than the love that we have from God and the love that we give Him and the love that we share with family and friends. You see, God makes His grace available when His children fail. And no family is immune from the difficulties and the problems. In fact, if there is anything I've learned, God is there for His children. Psalm 73:28 says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." Hear me this morning. Let God be there for you in the tough times. And if you're going to be a parent, there are going to be tough times. And if you're a grandpa or a grandma or a great-grandma or great-grandpa, can I tell you something? There's going to be times that you wish your kids were raising your grandkids differently than they are. But you be a Christian. You be a witness. You be the one to shine the light of Jesus Christ. I didn't come today with a lot of answers. You see, what I discovered was I needed God's grace in the midst of parenting. In fact, I needed to introduce and give grace to my children as they grew and developed. I needed to bring grace home. I want you to know today, it takes a lot of God. It takes a lot of God to love your family. And it takes a lot of God and His grace to raise a Christian family. I want to say this to you. The story of your kid's life is not over. And so what are you going to do? My prayer for you is that you'll receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you'll let His love fill you through and through. And as you do that, that's what comes out of you. I'd like to have a word of prayer for you. And again, ladies, I want to say God bless you. I want to say thank you for all that you do. All the hours that you've given to your family, to your husband, to your children. Grandpas and grandmas, great-grandpas and grandmas, I am actually finding I enjoy that a little bit better than I did parenting. I'm so grateful for Skype and FaceTime and all of those things as the distance and travel happens. Don't quit. Remember that God loves you. Remember He loves you. Don't forget it. Don't quit. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I really do. It's another gift You've given us. Lord, it's been a long time since I've preached on parenting. But even this week, you told me I needed to speak the truth and not shy away from the fact that I have not been a perfect parent. And God, I can say to you today, I can join with the Apostle Paul that your grace has been sufficient. That in those moments that I thought I couldn't take another step forward, that I felt like a complete failure, that you stepped in, Lord. And you empowered Cindy and I. And so I pray today, if there's a mom or dad that's kind of feeling at wit's ends, there's a grandpa and grandma that's worried about that grandchild, oh God, would you just pull alongside them right now? Would you envelop them with your love? And would you remind them that you were the one that created them? You were the one that knows them. And that in your grace and in your mercy, you're reaching out to them. And God, I also just want to say a special blessing upon this pastor and his wife. Oh Lord, what a gift from you they are. I thank you for their due diligence to these people. And I just pray that in these coming days, that you would pour out a blessing upon them and upon these people. Make them a witness, Lord, into this community. And may this church be marked by love and by generosity and by grace. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.